Amen. Going to read you a story. I'm going to read you a poem. It'll help if you close your eyes to help you just visualize the story in the poem. Here it goes. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. And each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed it during the low periods of my life when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat. I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there's only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." Now, open your eyes. If you've heard that before, raise your hand. Okay, put them down. If you haven't heard that before, raise your hand. For many, it's a very popular Christian poem. And what's it called? Footprints in the Sand. I want you to hold on to that. I want you to remember that. It's going to come up later. Go to your word. Go to the Bible. I want you to turn the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, 12. While you're looking it up, I want to explain a little bit about Corinth. Corinth was an ancient Greek city. Old Greek city. It was destroyed by the Romans in about 146 AD. Or BC, about 146 years before Christ came to earth, it was destroyed. And then for 100 years, nothing happened to Corinth. It was dormant. It just lay there. Then Julius Caesar of the Roman Empire had it rebuilt, and it became the capital of Achaia, and Athens fell in that province. But even though Athens was more popular than Corinth, Corinth had a stronger church. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians, so we can assume it's the second letter. We're not sure how many letters in entirety Paul wrote, but Paul is writing to these people. It was a pretty big city, and it was known for having morality issues in the past, sexual issues in the past, and the issue was mostly when it was when Greece was in control. But it did have issues. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And back in those days, on almost all the major cities, there was a pocket of Jews in every major city. And if you look at Paul's ministry, he normally started his ministry in the cities by going to the Jewish populace. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 1:12. "Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace." Paul wrote this letter while he was in Macedonia. And if you look at 2 Corinthians, one thing you'll notice about them, about Paul, he was like a pastor to this church. Throughout the whole book, you can read how he says he has sorrow, he has joys, he grieves, he glories. All these are descriptions of having a relationship with this group, and it was a pastoral relationship. One writer wrote about the church in Corinth, "That church was not a group of impeccable saints, but one of sinners in the process of being saved and of thinking through the meaning of their faith." I want to take a minute, and I want to take that verse, verse 12, and I want to break it down with you. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 1:12, and in the beginning it says, "Now, this is our boast." It is amazing how one word carries weight, and sometimes we can miss that word. The word "now" is in some interpretations, some translations, it's "for." So the first word in that verse, "now" or "for," what was going on when Paul wrote this letter, and it helps to get the history. A group in the church was upset with Paul because he didn't visit when he said he would. And their they're actually questioning his pastoral, his moral integrity. You didn't come through like you said you would. And he said, now, he's explaining in the first chapter up through verse 12, you know what? We suffer. We're persecuted. I went through I almost lost my life. I struggled, but you know what? I didn't struggle in vain. I did it for God. What I went through for God. And it isn't in my human flesh. And we're going to read in verse 12, he says, now this is our boast. He's connecting what was going on in the earlier verses by saying, in verse 11, look at verse 11 for a minute. In verse 11, what he's saying is, you prayed for me. Some of the church prayed for him. And you know what? It wasn't in vain because God answered your prayers. So here in verse 12, he's saying now, he's connecting with verse 11, and he's saying, I want to tell you that it wasn't in vain. Those people who are putting me down, who are saying, I'm not coming through, I want to tell you something. Now, this is our boast. Look at that word, boast. Doesn't it, when you hear the word boast, do you think of bragging? Do you think of, look at me, look how special I am, wow, I've got it all together? He's going to go the opposite direction. He's going to say, let me tell you what I have to boast about. Let me tell you, look at me for a minute. If you want to challenge me, this is what I have. And then it goes on to say, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world. He didn't hide within the church. He was out in the world. He didn't go into a castle, put a bunch of crocodiles in a moat, put up the drawbridge, and hide. What he did is he went out into the world and he showed himself and shared himself, and it was not in his own flesh, it was God. He was willing to go into uncomfortable circumstances time and time again for himself. No, for God. We have conducted ourselves in the world. There he is. He's not hiding. He's not avoiding non-Christians. They haven't shut themselves in. And then the next section, and especially in our relations with you. It's almost like saying, Sherry, I'm even willing to put up with you. He's dealing with difficult people, and yet he's saying, I am being real with you. I am not fake. I'm not being phony. What you see is what you get, and what you see is of God. And the holiness and sincerity that are from God. Wait a minute. The holiness and the sincerity that are from God? What does it take to be holy and sincere with God? It takes a relationship. It takes knowing God. And he's saying, I have that relationship. I am there. The holiness of God. The sincerity that comes from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom. We haven't used the wisdom of Solomon. We haven't done this on our own strength and in our own merit. It's of God and not of ourselves. Look at your own life. You know that when you are in touch with God, when you are in tune with God, oftentimes it's not you. The words that come out of your mouth, when you're right with God, when you are seeking Him out, oftentimes what's going on is the Holy Spirit is working within your conscience, and the actions you take and the words that you state are of God. They're from the Holy Spirit, which resides inside of you. Paul probably reflected on his other letters. Did you ever think about that? He's being attacked. He's under persecution by some of this group in the Church of Corinth. He's under attack, and you know what he did? He probably in his what did I say? What did I do? Did I give off the impression? Did I do anything to say, to mess up? Did I do anything to like trick them? And he's coming up with nothing. Because he was right with God and he was seeking God out, but he's questioning, he's trying to think, where are they coming from? And then it says, but according to God's grace, a definition that I love of grace, being forgiven when you don't deserve it. So he was working within God's grace and being the man, the best man he could be, not in his flesh, but according to God's grace. can we learn from this? What can we take out of this passage of Scripture? Here's Paul. He's been loving on this church. He's been serving God. He's been doing everything he can and throughout, not just in Corinth, but in different places. And he's been giving of himself and doing what he can for the Lord. And what's happening to him? He's under attack. People are questioning him. People are challenging him. But I have good news. This doesn't happen today. We don't have to worry about that. We don't struggle with that. Everyone is loving. I want you to hold hands. We're going to sing Kumbaya. Just grab the name. No. We deal with the same issue today. The Bible is amazing to me in that it's as if Paul wrote this to me. It's as if Paul wrote this to us. I want to be real with you all the time, but I'm really going to go deep on something. Family came and because their children said, asked them questions about God. We're talking little children. And the parents said, oh, we need help. This isn't fake. This is a real story. They came to Bethany Lane Baptist Church. They came here and they accepted the Lord. I mean, they heard and the Holy Spirit convicted them. They came forward. They accepted the Lord. They were baptized in this church. Husband joined Man Quest. They were in Lifeline. And something happened and don't know what. And they stopped coming. Who noticed? Who notices that they're gone? Now, you may be wondering, who's the family? Who's the family? They're gone. I mean, God blessed this church and that they accepted the Lord. They got plugged in. And then something happened. They're gone and kind of went out and, hey, miss you. Thank you so much. We're visiting another church now. That hurts. We need to be intentional about our relationships. We need to see, is someone missing? Hey, I haven't seen Bob in a while. I need to give Bob a call. I need to check in and what's going on. I'm taking off. I really thought about this next example and I thought, oh, this is shaky. So I'm going there anyway. I'm taking off my Lifeline hat, director of Lifeline hat. Almost every week, if you look at the attendance in your bulletin, there are more children attending our Lifeline, our Sunday school, than adults. More children are coming to Sunday school than adults. Relationships. Lifeline's an opportunity for relationships. We need each other. We need to connect. I just want you to think about that. I want to go on to say this. When I prepare a sermon, I want to just tell you really brief how I do it. When I prepare a sermon, I go to God and I ask, where's the congregation right now? Where are the people in this room right now? And what do they need to hear? Where are we? Trying to put your finger on the pulse and give them scripture and go into the word and then come out and answer the question, so what? What does that mean today? What do I do with that? I was so excited about this particular opportunity for this sermon because the way things came together were of God. Recently, Pastor Kip has been preaching on Joshua. You remember that? I mean, there was more than one Sunday on Joshua. There were two spies who said, we can take the land. Who were they? Caleb and Joshua. There were 10 spies who said what? We can't do that. There's no way. So Joshua and Caleb were immediately taken to the promised land by God while the rest stayed behind. Is that correct? My Bible. Oh, I got to look that up again. That's right. It didn't happen. What happened? Joshua and Caleb had to wait 40 years before they were allowed to enter the promised land. Two of them said yes. 10 of them said no. Our relationships, what we do, the decisions we make, the faith that we have, the actions on our faith impact what happens to us. Not individually all the time, but as a community. Joshua and Caleb waited 40 years because 10 guys said, we can't do it. Did you ever think about it in that perspective? Dennis last week preached on Mark 5, 1 through 20, and he came up with an acronym called TALK. Tell, be active, living, and knowledge. And he preached about the man who was infested by a legion of evil spirits. When Jesus kicked them out and they went to the swine and they fell off the mountain, what did Jesus tell that man? Go to your family and tell them what I have done. Relationships. The significance and importance of relationships. If you were in Lifeline this morning, what was the lesson on? So in 2 Corinthians 1:12, and it was about what? The integrity of relationships. How important and significant they are. I did not go through the Lifeline lesson this week because when I'm putting the sermon together, I'm thinking, we are wired for relationships. And then after the sermon's done, I go to the Lifeline lesson, and there's a sentence in the front page, we are wired for relationships. That's a God thing. That's not an accident. We are wired for relationships. So it's so cool when I see God at work, when you connect the dots, title of the sermon today, connect the dots. When you connect the dots, you think, that's not an accident. That's not arbitrary. That's God coming together and how He works. He's the author of relationships, and it can be reflected throughout history. I want you to yell out, call out, what are stories from the Bible that have to do anything with relationships? Just call out some examples. I'm a deaf guy. Go ahead. What are some examples of relationships that we can find in the Bible? What else? Mm-hmm. What else? Mary and Joseph. Yes? The first story. The first man that ever lived. Adam. What happened? I'm lonely. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Abraham told by God, how big was God going to expand his family? How big? More than the stars in the sky. What other metaphor did he give? The sands in the... You want to hear the most beautiful relationship story ever? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth and lived a perfect life, fully human, 100% divine, did it all, never messed up, died on the cross for our sins, and was raised 3 days later. And you know what's also amazing about it? God did it in a way that it's a relationship. We have to have a relationship with God to accept God. We have to say, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Be with me. When we are going through the most difficult and horrible times in our life, whether it's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 who is sharing with the people, look, I just came through a life-threatening situation. Whether it's Paul or whether it's yourself, you are currently homeless. You are about to be evicted. Your job is on the line, or you were just fired. You have cancer. Your husband just had a heart attack. Your child is pregnant out of wedlock. A son went wayward and is in prison. You're in a financial crisis. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? That poem I read in the beginning, Footprints in the Sand, you know why so many of you raised your hands? It's not in the Bible. Because it touches you. And why does it touch you? Because we don't want to be alone. We are wired for relationships. When I was at Southern Seminary, I applied to be in the pastoral counseling program. At the time, it was a very difficult, challenging program to be in. I applied, got in, proceeded to not go into it. That's another story. I'm in the program, right? I'm about to be accepted. I'm in the interview. And the guy, this dean, one of the best experiences of my whole seminary time, duration, was this interview with this guy. And he's saying, I don't know how it came to be, but it was a God thing. He said, right now, I am walking, counseling somebody, this man. I'm walking with him, and in 1 year, I want you to imagine this, and within 365 days, he has buried his mom, his dad, his mother, his father, and his children. In 1 year, he buried his mom, his dad, his wife, and his children. Can you imagine that loss? And then he went on to say, we're walking down this road together. We're on this journey together, and we're learning something. I'm in shock at what I just heard, but I'm listening to him, and he goes, this is what we're learning. A person can go through anything on this earth if they truly believe they're not alone. Take a moment and think about that. The most difficult things in your life. A person can go through almost anything if they truly believe they're not alone. Caitlin and Catherine went off to camp this year. This is Caitlin's second year. This is Catherine's first year. Catherine's first time away from home. Our 8-year-old. She'll be 9 later this month. First time away from home. They're wired differently. Caitlin somehow just adjusted well that first year being there without Kate and I, being away from us. Catherine, we promised her, we're going to visit you this week. And we kept our promise. On Tuesday, we drove up. We saw her. Almost instantly, we realized, big mistake. She never asked to come home. She never did. But she internalized when she saw us and knew, she knew we're leaving shortly. We're not going to be there. I would die for my daughters. I would do anything for my daughters. And my presence caused them pain. Relationships are difficult. Relationships are hard. Yet when you love, when you give of yourself, we're called by God to do so. It's not always easy. It's difficult. And here's the key. If you're going to take notes today, I want you to write this down. A relationship, a good relationship requires integrity seasoned with grace. Integrity seasoned with grace. We have to be, you know, Caitlin's 10. I blinked and 10 years have gone by. I can't believe that the girl's 10. You want to hear depression? I realized recently that she's closer to college than when she came out of Kate. The thing is, I haven't missed any milestones in her life. I look back with, I don't have regrets that I wasn't there for her because I was working 90 hours a week. I don't have those regrets. And yet, what happened 10 years? We have to be intentional with our relationships with each other. Paul had a clear conscience in how he conducted himself in this world, with individuals, with how he walked with God. We need to also do the same. I want to give you an acronym for DOTS. The title of the sermon is Connecting the Dots, and it's really quick. Discipleship. We need to walk with each other. We need to love on each other. We need to learn and grow. Well, you know what? I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I'm kind of in a different place than this younger Christian. You know what younger Christians bring to the table? They have this zealousness, this fire for God, that sometimes Christians that have been a Christian for a long time, they need to rekindle their flame. And a young Christian, just being around them, the passion that they have for God, it's addicting. We need each other. We're wired that way. Opportunities. I want to challenge you to seek opportunities to have relationships. Relationships that you don't currently have with others. Being transformed. Only through a transformed life can we do things like Paul did. Only through a transformed life can that happen. And sanctification. Sanctification is kind of a really neat, big theological term, and it's really simple. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior until you go to be with Him in heaven, that time that you were here on earth is sanctification. What are you going to do with the time you've got left? Be intentional in your relationships. Integrity seasoned with grace. Has anything changed since Adam was lonely? We still need relationships. John 13:35. Jesus says, you want to know how you're my disciples? You really want to know what the litmus test is? How do you love each other? How are you loving each other? How are we loving each other? I love quotes. John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What can we do for each other? What can I do for you, Judy? Do you have a need? Something going on? How can we, instead of going up and how about that weather? This hot. Talk to you later. How are you? What's going on with you? I'm going to talk about Nancy. She's not here. It's great to talk about people when they're not here. Nancy from our church came up, 6-7 weeks ago, and she unloaded a bombshell, and she told us about things that were going on in her life. How many people would do that? But she repented to God. She'd gone to God. She'd asked for forgiveness. She's sharing with the congregation, and she was free. She wasn't locked down. And if you watch Nancy, she's addicting to be around because she's so selfish. No. That's it. She's selfless. She is selfless. She gives of herself. And you know what? She wouldn't even want me to say this out loud because she's an introvert. It's not to her glory. It's to God's glory that she does things. There are other people in this church. People could stand up and say, I remember what, I know so-and-so. I came here because relationships. Being selfless in nature. But you know what? It's easy to love people that are kind of perfect or they're good or do something for me. We're called to love on everybody. And Jesus was a perfect role model. He was a perfect example for that. If you're in a group of people and you all really get along, don't be afraid to invite other people to it. Just invite other people. If you've got something good going on, don't close the door. Open it up. Share with other people. Don't settle on the status quo. Okay, how do we love each other? How do we connect the dots? And here's a quick list. 1, be right with God. Be right with God. This has to be right until this is right. When you think about the cross, it sounds so simple, but it's profound. We have to be right with God before we can be right with each other. 2, get right with whoever you're wrong with. I want you to just, in your mind, is there somebody you're not right with? That was a rhetorical question. Don't answer out loud. If there is somebody that you're not right with today, not tomorrow, get right with them. But you don't understand what they did. No. Get right with them. Really, I'm telling you, they were mean and get right with them. If there's someone you're not right with, go and make it right. Live by grace. Live by grace. Love on each other. And 4, seek opportunities for relationship. Reach out to people. You know what's beautiful about Jesus? He never quit on you. Jesus never quit on you. And you know what? He never will. Isn't that beautiful? That's worthy of an amen. Amen. Thank you, God. I want to do one quick exercise. I'm going to be Pastor Kip for a minute. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up for a minute. I want you to take the next 60 seconds and find 2 or 3 people that you've never said, hello, brother, hello, sister, welcome in the name of the Lord, love you. Find them and love on them. Say good morning, but it has to be someone that you don't do it with normally. Find someone new. I'll say hello. It's harder.
It's good, but that's a struggle for me.
It really is.
Even if you're feeling lonely, it's hard to...
It really is. You just want to pull inward. It goes against the human...
Well, you don't know how.
Because you...
You just don't... You're not good at it.
It's not your thing. Okay, again, that's enough love and sit down. How was that? Was that good? That was different? You know what? Some of you had to come out of your comfort zone. Some of you had to come out of your cave. It's not always easy to do, but what happens when you do it? It's you're blessed. It's of God. It's awesome. We are wired for relationships. Who here knows about the Deacon Caroline? There were prayer requests that related to health. There were people who were in the hospital. There were people who had surgeries this week. Putting people on the spot, who were some of the names of the people that you read about in the Deacon Caroline? Yes, yes. Now, what could you as individuals, I'm not asking what you did, what could you have done this week for these individuals? What are the options? You could have prayed. You could have visited them. Called them. What else? Send them a card. Hey, you probably need some dinner, don't you? Offer dinner. There are a bunch of options. Here's the thing. If you didn't do it, I don't want you to eat yourself up. Next time, do it. When you're reading the Deacon Caroline and you're like, this person needs prayer, do it right away. Stop what you're doing. You're reading the Deacon Caroline. You're in there right now. And do it right away. And then ask yourself, what can I do for them? Selfless acts. And you know what? When I was a kid, I have osteogenesis imperfecta. It's a bone disease. And when I was a kid, I broke left and right. As a teenager, I stopped counting at 100. When I hit 100 fractures, I stopped counting. And I had surgeries and I was in the hospital. You know what? I didn't forget who visited me in the hospital. It meant so much to me. And one of the big reasons, because God wired me for relationships and I felt special and I felt loved. Guess what? As an adult, it doesn't really change. When you're in the hospital, you're not there because, you know what? I want my kidneys taken out. I'm going in. You're in there for something that you really don't want to be there for, and it's out of your control, and it means the world when somebody comes to visit, when someone brings a card, a balloon, flowers, someone calls. It makes you feel special. God is the giver of that. God is the provider of that. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Relationships, we need them. Be right with God first. Get right with the person that you're wrong with. Live by grace, God's love. Seek opportunities to serve Him. We have some exciting relationship opportunities. I'm thinking of two in particular. And I'm not going to give you the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. I'm going to leave it up in suspense. This is our mystery time. In September, one of them is going to happen. There's a second one, and you'll find out. But be ready for these relationships. Seek out these relationships. God is so good. He gives us the opportunity to love one each other. A person can go through almost anything if they truly believe they are not alone. We need to conduct ourselves with integrity, and it can only be done seasoned with grace, God's grace. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being the provider of relationships. You have made us. We all desire them. We all long for them, whoever we are. And God, thank you for them. Sometimes it's hard, though. Sometimes it's, how do I do that? I don't know how. I'm uncomfortable. I just pray that you will open up the doors and the opportunities for people to relate to one another, to love one each other. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for all of his books that are in the Bible, the scriptures that we read. Thank you that you gave him the words. The Bible is inspired by you. And God, in the midst of, he couldn't be with the church in Corinth all the time, but he wrote to them and he said, I love you. He said, you know what, you're not alone. And at the same time, there were difficulties there. There's difficulties everywhere. There's difficulties today. I went and saw Catherine, my daughter, who I love, and it was painful. Why is it painful? But you still call us to have relationships with each other. And thank you so much for the greatest relationship that we have, which is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we are so blessed because of that. May we not forget it. May we not take it for granted. We love you, Father. In your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.